Preskin. The General Mills Radio Adventure Theater. Welcome to the magic world of radio, where you make everything possible. I'm Tom Bosley, and I'll lead you through mysterious highways and byways into a world that's inhabited by heroes and villains, beggars and kings, dragons and winged horses. And radio is the magic genie who, with the click of a dial, can summon forth all these marvelous characters and show them to your inner eye, the eye of your imagination. Our adventure story, The Caliph of Baghdad, was adapted from the Arabian Nights, especially for the General Mills Radio Adventure Theater by Paul Tripp. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
The magic is delicious. Yeah.
A thousand years ago, in the mysterious Orient, there lived a queen whose name was Scheherazade. She told stories to entertain her husband, the Sultan. But even though he loved to listen, he was easily bored. Now, the moment he lost interest, the Sultan would order the storyteller to be thrown into the deepest dungeon to live there forever. But the clever Scheherazade never finished her story in one night. Instead, she managed to string out her storytelling for 1,001 magical nights. By that time, the Sultan was so in love with her, he wouldn't have dreamed of throwing her into a dungeon.
Let my Grand Vizier be permitted to enter.
May the first star of the evening bless you, O my Lord Harun al-Rashid, mighty Caliph, Commander of the Faithful.
Look at me, Haji. Look well. Examine me closely.
My Lord, why are you dressed like a common citizen of the streets? What is the meaning of this disguise?
Tell me, Haji, is the justice done throughout my land?
Of course, my Lord. How can you ask? Each day, my agents go out into the city and then report on what they have seen.
Ah, but Haji, do you believe their reports?
They are my most trustworthy servants.
But have you, yourself, seen what they tell you?
No, my lord.
I have been derelict in my royal duty. Would it not be better, Haji, to see with my own eyes rather than with the eyes of others?
True, my lord. But a king is too occupied with affairs of state.
Henceforth, I will deal with my own subjects myself. Therefore, this disguise. They will not know me. Therefore, they will speak freely. And with my own eyes, I shall know how well I rule.
Oh, but it is too dangerous. I cannot let you do this.
Cannot? Who rules this land? You or I? Now let us go to the secret door behind my throne. The one that leads out into the street.
Arms, for the love of Allah, arms.
Hear, my poor blind friend. A coin for your cup.
May Allah shower his blessings on your head.
And on yours as well. Good night.
No, wait, kind stranger. You have given one charity. Now give me another. Strike me, I beg of you. Strike a heavy blow, for I richly deserve it.
I don't understand.
I have sworn a solemn oath to accept nothing without being punished thereafter. Strike me, I beg of you.
Oh, well, very well then, if it please you. There.
Such a gentle tap on the shoulder. I deserve a heavier blow.
Oh, forgive me, but I cannot be so cruel.
Oh, if you only knew, if only you knew.
Well, then tell me. I am curious about your strange request. It seems so unnatural, and you do not appear to be a lunatic.
Never was a man more sane. I will tell a story, and then perhaps you will understand. I was once known as Baba Abdallah, the merchant. I owned 80 camels, which I hired out to other merchants to carry their goods from place to place. And at a very good price, let me tell you. One day when I had just delivered some goods, I stopped at an oasis with my empty-backed camels to rest and myself.
My blessings on you, merchant. May I sit beside you and talk to you while I partake of my noonday meal? It is very lonely in the desert.
You are most welcome, holy man, for I see by your attire you are a dervish, one of those good men devoted to helping others. Here, share with me this basket of large, succulent figs.
Thank you. I see the backs of your camels are empty. In return for your kindness, I can fill all their backs with such a treasure as you have never dreamed of. I know where the treasure is hidden. Will you come with me and with your camels?
I find it hard to believe that a poor dervish would know about hidden treasure.
Come, and you shall see for yourself. But first, we must strike a bargain.
Anything, anything.
When we have gathered up the treasure and laden the 80 camels, then you shall take 40 camels for yourself and give the other 40 to me.
Give you 40 of my own camels? Do you take me for a fool?
Remember, merchant, your 40 camels will then carry on their backs enough treasure to buy another 1,000 camels. Is it a bargain? Do you see yonder twin mountains? There is a narrow pass between them. Through this pass you will lead your camels single file. Then we will go into the secret cave that I know of, and we will bring out the treasure which is hidden there.
Kind sir, I did as the dervish told me, and found the treasure of gold and precious gems, as the dervish had promised me. When we had loaded the camels, the dervish took his 40 camels and went his way, and I took my 40 camels and went mine.
Farewell, merchant. May you find joy with your newly acquired wealth.
And you with yours? But wait, I have a thought.
I trust it is a good thought.
I have been thinking. My brother, listen well. You are a dervish. You lead a quiet life, caring only to do good. What good is wealth to you? What do you know about wealth? It can only bring trouble. I know, for I have been a merchant all my life. Wealth is a burden. Therefore,
you would, like the kind, generous man that you are, help lighten my burden. I am grateful. Here, you may have half my camels. Now I will take the 20 left to me and bid you farewell.
What a wise man you are.
Wiser than you think, oh wily merchant.
Wily? Do you think I mean to cheat you?
I accuse you of nothing. Farewell.
Farewell to you, most generous dervish. But wait, I have another thought.
Oh, you are as full of thoughts as a desert is full of sand.
Do not mock me. My thought is a kind thought. Listen well. It takes great skill to drive a herd of camels. Perhaps you would be happier if you had less camels to keep together.
Therefore, if I gave you 10 more of my camels, it would be easier to drive the 10 that would be left to me.
Oh, wise and holy dervish, how well you read my mind.
Your mind is as easy to read as a child's book. But now I have a thought. If, as you say, leading camels is such a burdensome task, why don't you take my remaining camels? Then I shall be as happy and carefree as I was before I first met you. Will you do that for me? It would be a kindness.
I would be overjoyed to oblige you. But wait a moment. When we were gathering up the treasure, did I not see you hide a small box of ointment in your robe?
You did? But you may have it if you wish. To make you happy is my most earnest desire.
Was there ever such generosity? But tell me, what are the virtues of this ointment?
Apply a little of it to your left eye, and in an instant you shall see all the treasure hidden in the earth. But beware of putting it on your right eye, for then your sight will be destroyed forever.
I shall press this ointment on my left eye. Oh, how marvelous are the sights I see. Heaping chests of gold and diamonds and rubies and emeralds. And only I know where they are to be found. Now, if I put ointment on my other eye, will I not see twice as much?
Do not do so, I pray you. For if you do, you will lose your sight.
I do not believe you. It is not sensible to believe that the same ointment will have a different effect on each eye. I will prove it. Behold how I now apply the ointment to my right eye. I cannot see. My eyes are plunged in darkness. I am blind.
Did I not warn you? It is your own greed that has done this to you.
How shall I lead my camels? I cannot see.
I shall take the camels and the rich burdens they carry.
But what about me?
I will point you in the direction of the city of Baghdad, where you will beg for charity for the rest of your life.
Kind sir, that was 20 years ago, and in those years I have reflected on my sins and begged for punishment. Now, stranger, do you understand my reason for wishing you to strike me?
I understand very well. In all those years, you have taken charity and blows as well. Never have you given.
But what have I to give?
The lesson to be learned from your story. Tomorrow and always, you will sit in front of the Caliph's palace. A man shall stand beside you and ring a bell to attract people around you. And all day, you shall relate your story to them so they may learn the lesson you have learned.
I will do so. That will be true repentance, to give wisdom to others.
And speak loudly, that even the Caliph in his palace may hear you.
But will he not be angry with me for disturbing his peace?
He will be grateful. But he is not yet so wise that he cannot learn still more.
Today, the President of the United States studies the many public opinion polls to discover what the people want. And as much as he'd like to, security prevents him from going out into the streets by himself to find out how the people feel about things. But 1,000 years ago, the Caliph was bound by no law. He himself made the laws, so he could travel among the crowds. We'll join the Caliph on the streets of Baghdad shortly. The General Mills Radio Adventure Theater will return shortly. The Caliph Harun al-Rashid was so pleased with the results of his first venture into the city in disguise, he resolved to repeat his adventure each night thereafter. He listened to the people and wondered at the sudden change in their fortunes. Then came a night when the Caliph... But before we hear what happened, we must go back 7 years into the past.
Come in. Come in. And welcome to our house. Look, wife, we have a visitor. Our old friend, Ali Kago, we have not seen for so many weeks.
May Allah bless all who live here. Mustafa, I have come to bid you both farewell.
Is that why you carry that large olive jar? For your journey?
Oh, no, Amina. People would laugh at me. An olive jar is no place to pack one's clothes. And I have brought it to leave in your safekeeping.
Of course, of course. We will do whatever you wish, old friend. But put it down. It seems very heavy.
Oh, thank you. It is. I am going on a pilgrimage to the city of Mecca.
But what have you done with your shop?
I have sold it for as much as I could get, and my house and furniture, too.
This jar you wish us to keep for you? Oh, what is in that, if you will pardon my curiosity?
Oh, the rest of my poor belongings, which I will not need on my journey, and a bushel of olives on top. You will guard it well, Mustafa. It is nothing, but it is nevertheless dear to me.
Well, I will guard it with my life, dear friend.
And mine as well. Have no fear.
And now I must go. The caravan which I will travel with is waiting at the edge of the city. It leaves within the hour. Allah be with you, my dear friends.
And with you.
No man ever had truer friends.
And when shall you return to us?
Only Allah can tell. 2-3 years, perhaps. I will write and let you know. Farewell.
Oh, Mustafa, good news. A letter has come from Ali Kaga.
What does it say?
You know I cannot read. I have been waiting all day for you to read it to me.
Well, let me see. Dear Mustafa. Amina, how long has it been since last we saw our friend?
Almost 3 years now, I think. But read the letter. Has he been to Mecca? Is he in good health?
Yes, he has been to Mecca, and is now a holy man according to the custom.
What else does he say?
He is well, and is now visiting the city of Damascus.
Damascus? Why does he not come here instead?
Well, he says he will never be able to travel again once he returns. Therefore, he wishes first to see other cities in the world. Then he will return. Within a year, perhaps. He asks if the large jar he left with us is still safe.
Of course it is. Why do you look so thoughtful, husband?
Well, I was just wondering. He seems so anxious about the jar. But he told us there was nothing of value in it. A bushel of olives. Why is he so concerned?
Mustafa?
Did you say something?
You are not eating. Are you not hungry?
Of course I'm hungry, but... But these olives are bitter.
Well, I am sorry about the olives. But why do you keep staring at that jar in the corner? The one Ali Kaga left in our care so long ago.
Oh, was I staring at it? I was not aware. Tell me, Amina. Now that you have mentioned the jar, how long has Ali Kaga been gone?
Well, let me see. By my reckoning, it must be 1 month less than 7 years ago.
It's a very long time. I think our friend must be dead. Else he would have returned by now.
Oh, I pray not.
May he rest peacefully in paradise.
Perhaps you're right, Mustafa, but we must still keep his jaw safely. Oh. We promised.
Of course, of course. But it has occurred to me that since the olives on our table are so bitter, we might sample the bushel of olives Ali Kaga told us were at the top of his jar. Perhaps they will taste better than ours.
No, Mustafa. If you break the seal of the jar, you will also break faith with Ali Kaga. I beg you not to do something so wicked.
Now be still. I am master of this house. I will break the seal and taste the olives.
You will also break faith with a trusting friend.
With a dead trusting friend, you mean. Now, hand me that knife.
I beg of you, do not break the seal.
Silence! Now to lift the lid. And now to taste the olives. Gosh! They're rotted with age.
Close the jar, I beg you.
Perhaps the ones beneath these are fresher. All rotten. Well, perhaps they're better at the bottom. Gold. Do you see what I see? Hundreds of pieces of gold.
Now you can understand why he was so anxious about this jar. Put them back, Mustafa. They belong to Ali Kaga.
He lied to me. His best friend. Oh, there's nothing of value in this jar, he told us. The liar. The cheat. Didn't he trust me?
Perhaps he did not wish to tempt you.
Oh, if he were here now, I would tell him a thing or two. But what am I saying? He's dead. Dead. If I take his gold, how can he complain?
You would not commit such a terrible sin to steal from a friend.
Of what use is gold to a dead man?
But if he still lives and returns, what then?
I will deny I took it. Well, you are my witness that he never told us there was gold in this jar. Here, Amina, take these gold pieces and then go to the market and buy fresh olives. We will fill the jar to the brim with them. Recork the jar and seal it. No one will be the wiser. And with the gold Ali Kaga has so kindly given me, I shall buy another shop.
I will not go, Mustafa. Let the sin be on your head alone. Mustafa. Each night since you took the gold, I have had terrible dreams. Put it back. I plead with you. Put it back.
For a month now, you've been howling like a cat whose tail has been stepped on. Give me some peace. Let me sit here before our shop and enjoy the cool breeze that comes from the desert. Amina, look. Here comes that stranger again. The one who walks past our shop every night and wears a scarf across his face. Now, stop your crying.
Good evening, my friends. It has been such a hot day. I thank Allah for the cool wind he has sent from the desert. And I, too, thank Allah for his blessings.
Mustafa! Amina! I have returned!
Who calls? Who has returned?
It is I, your old friend, Ali Kaga. Back after 7 years.
Well, welcome back, my old friend. We'll see how Amina weeps for joy. We had thought you were dead.
Oh, I'm not surprised. It has been a long 7 full years, but I am alive and well, as you can see.
Well, yes, I can see. Well, come, sit beside us and tell us of your adventure.
Later. But first, I must ask you for the jar of olives I left with you so long ago.
Oh, by all means. Well, here is the key to my shop. You will find the jar where you yourself placed it.
The return of your old friend seems to have been a shock to you both. Even in this dim light, I could see both your faces turn pale.
We had thought him dead.
Ah, but where has he been for so many years?
On a pilgrimage to the holy city of Mecca.
Oh, then I must ask for his blessing, for he is now a holy man.
I have been robbed. All that I had in the world is gone. My gold.
What gold?
But the gold I placed at the bottom of the jar, it is gone.
Ali Kaga, you astonish me. When you left the jar in our shop, you never told us there was gold in it, did he, wife?
No, husband. He never told us.
Oh, you see? Well, the journey to Mecca must have addled your brain.
Oh, I swear the gold was in the jar. Now, please, Mustafa, tell me the truth. Perhaps in the 7 years that I was gone, you had need of some money and therefore borrowed some of my gold for business purposes.
If you placed gold in the jar, then it must still be there.
But it isn't. It's gone.
Why blame me? For shame, Ali Kaga. You have returned a poor man and therefore have invented a trick whereby I am obliged to give you the gold you claimed I have stolen.
No, that is not true. You are a thief. Let the world know. Mustafa is a thief. Tomorrow you will go to court with me and be judged.
Gladly, for I am innocent.
Excuse me. Perhaps I can be of some assistance. I have some knowledge of the law, and since I did not meet either of you until this night, I have no side to favor. Therefore, it follows that, like any good judge, I shall be fair and impartial.
Oh, but why should I be judged at all when I am innocent?
Then why fear to be judged?
Oh, well, very well. If Alakaga is willing, then judge between us.
I am willing.
And you both swear to abide by my verdict.
We do.
Good. First, we must have the evidence. Alakaga, go into the shop and bring out the jar and all it contains.
I shall do so, your worship.
Stranger, can you not see that I am innocent?
A true judge does not prejudge.
Here is the jar.
Now, I shall taste the olives. Delicious. Mustafa, you swear you never opened the jar.
I swear it.
Extraordinary. Then these olives must be 7 years old. I'm amazed that olives so old should still taste so fresh.
Oh, but you forget, sir, the jar was sealed airtight.
Even so. Good people.
Sir.
Is there a dealer in olives among you?
I am, sir. I have dealt in olives from boyhood.
Then taste this olive, good merchant, and tell me how old it is.
It is very fresh. I would say it was taken from its tree a little more than a month ago.
And tell me, how long can an olive be kept so fresh and pleasant tasting?
However much care is taken to preserve it, an olive will never last beyond the third year.
What say you to this, Mustafa?
Perhaps it was a miracle. I am innocent, I tell you.
Oh, Mustafa, can you not see the truth is out? Tell them that you took the gold. Perhaps the judgment will be merciful. Confess, or they will hang you.
I confess. I confess. Have mercy on me, I pray.
Since you have confessed, you will not be hanged. But you will still be punished according to your crime. Here then is my sentence. First, you will return the gold, and then you will sell your shop, and with the proceeds become an olive merchant.
I protest. That is not true justice.
No. Hear me out, Alakaga. The new olive merchant, Mustafa, will only sell olives that are 3 years old.
But they will be rotted. Who will buy them? How shall I earn enough money to buy food?
When you are hungry, you can eat your ancient and bitter olives. And while you chew on them, you shall then, at last, realize what a crime it is to cheat. Especially an old friend.
There are interesting words in a song from Gilbert and Sullivan's operetta, The Mikado. My object all sublime, I shall achieve in time, to let the punishment fit the crime, the punishment fit the crime. Mustafa would have understood, or perhaps he would have liked something I have just made up. Before a thief steals, let him first become an expert on olives. We'll rejoin the Caliph in the streets of Baghdad shortly with Act 3. The General Mills Radio Adventure Theater will return shortly. The Caliph continued his nightly walks and learned to know his people. Despite the Grand Vizier's fears, no harm ever came to the Caliph. The people became familiar with the mysterious stranger who roamed their streets. And though they wondered about his identity, they did not fear him, but rather blessed his presence. For it became known throughout the city that where the disguised Caliph spoke to people, in that same place, some good fortune would come the next day.
Who will buy my wondrous catch from the sea? Who will buy? Oh, a blessed night to you, stranger. Will you see my catch from the sea and buy?
I will see. And if what I see is good, then shall I buy. Spread your net, fisherman. But I see no fish in the net. Where is this catch you would sell me?
Here, this bottle of brass.
But a brass bottle is no fish. What kind of a fisherman are you?
A most unfortunate fisherman.
What is the meaning of this strange catch?
Each day I cast my net into the sea three times. Yesterday morning when I cast my net for the first time, I brought up a broken earthen pot. Who can eat pottery? So I cast my net a second time.
And what did you catch then?
A tangled clump of seaweed. And what kind of a meal could my wife make out of seaweed and five hungry children to feed? So I sent up a mighty prayer to heaven and cast the third time.
I trust your prayer was answered.
In the strangest way, I pulled at the net. It was heavy. Who, I thought, I must have caught the largest fish in the sea.
And what did you find?
This bottle of brass.
Well, surely you cannot hope to sell this bottle in the fish market.
Oh, do you take me for a fool? No, I will take it to the copper market. It is made of good brass. Surely it should bring at least 5 gold pieces. Do you agree, stranger?
Let me examine it and I will tell you.
Well?
Is
it worth 5 gold pieces?
Assuredly. But I will give you 10.
10? Is it worth that much?
See? Right here, there is a strange seal over the stopper of the bottle that interests me.
Something is written on the seal, but I cannot read.
It is the name of King Solomon that is written on the seal. Will you sell the bottle to me?
Oh, willingly. But wait. Perhaps it is worth even more.
Oh, I assure you it is not.
Perhaps there is something valuable in the bottle.
A bird in the hand is worth 2 in the bush. You have not opened the bottle. How would you know what is in it?
First, I will break the seal. And now, I will uncork the bottle. Now, let me see.
3! At last, I have been released from the accursed bottle.
Oh, for the love of Allah. What evil spirit have I released from the bottle?
He must be a genie, though I have never seen one before. Be quiet, fisherman, and do not offend him.
Where is he? Where is the kind soul who has released me? I must reward him.
I am here, almighty genie, standing small before you. It was I who fished you out of the sea. It was I who uncorked the bottle and released you. I pray you, give me the reward you speak of, and let me go back to my home.
I will reward thee, thou vile fisherman. Why didst thou wait so long to find me? 1,000 years have I waited for thee. Why didst thou not come sooner?
Oh, be not angry, genie.
May I respectfully point out, O genie, that in the first place the fisherman did not know what lay at the bottom of the sea. And secondly, 1,000 years ago, he did not even exist.
Words! Words will not give me back those lost years. Pray, fisherman, pray. The end of thy life has come. Oh,
that is unjust, genie. The fisherman gave you your freedom. Is this the way to reward a kind deed?
There is merit in what you say. I will explain. 1,000 years ago, I refused to obey mighty Solomon, whereupon he confined me in this brass bottle, placed his seal on the stopper, and threw me into the sea. There I remained 200 years, and I said in my heart, whosoever shall liberate me, I shall enrich him forever. But no one came. I waited another 200 years, and I said, whosoever shall release me, I shall open to him all the treasures of the earth.
But, genie, if you promised all that to the man who would liberate you, why do you now wish to kill the innocent fisherman?
I have not finished. When another 200 years had passed, and I was still imprisoned, I grew angry, and I said to myself, whosoever shall liberate me now, him will I kill. I shall reward him in only one way. I shall let him choose the manner in which he wishes to die.
But, genie, an oath taken in anger is not a true oath.
Nevertheless, I will do as I swore to do.
Wait, genie, wait. Consider this. To choose how a man shall die is not a small matter. At least give this man a moment to think, and another to pray.
Well, I have waited this long. I can wait another short minute.
Then I pray you withdraw from us for that moment. Let the fisherman choose in peace.
Oh, very well, but be brief.
I do not wish to die. Help me, stranger. Oh, why did I not sell the bottle to you? Why did I open it?
Calm yourself. What is done cannot be undone. And you are not dead yet. I have a plan. Listen carefully. Give me the bottle. Now, take the stopper in your hand. And when I shout, now, swiftly plunge the stopper into the bottle.
Have you not yet chosen? I grow impatient.
But what is your plan?
You will see. Come back, genie. The fisherman has chosen.
Well, fisherman, what manner of death hast thou chosen?
Wait, genie. Before the fisherman tells you, will you do me a kindness?
Well?
I look at you, and I see a tall and mighty spirit whose head is almost hidden in the clouds. Now, look at this bottle in my hands. It is so small. Not even your tiniest finger could fit into it. Then, how could it have once contained your entire body?
You do not believe I was in this bottle? Did you not see me come forth?
Oh, I saw it, but I cannot believe it. It defies all the laws of nature.
For a genie, it is the simplest thing in the world. Look, I will show you.
Simple it is.
Now, fisherman! There! The genie is back in the prison where Solomon once placed him.
Oh, noble sir, I will bless you forever. You have saved my life. How can I ever thank you enough?
By selling me this bottle.
You would still buy it?
Here, hold out your hands. Now, take the gold and return to your family. And, fisherman, if your net brings up another bottle from the sea, throw it back and buy a new net. Haji, Haji, noble vizier, let me in. I am sorry to disturb your slumber, Haji.
I was not asleep, your majesty. I never sleep when you go on your nightly adventures.
Quick, close the door. Listen carefully, Haji, and do as I tell you. You will take this brass bottle. You will seal the stopper with my royal seal. Then, you will wrap it thickly in many scarves. You will place it in a heavy lead box and seal that as well. Then tomorrow, you will secretly give it to the most trustworthy captain of my ships. Tell him to sail to the deepest part of the ocean, where he shall throw the box overboard and watch till it sinks out of sight.
I shall obey your command. But what is in this bottle?
If I told you, you would think I was mad. Therefore, do not ask. This has been a long night, Haji. Give orders that I am not to be disturbed in the morning.
Was it then such a tiring night in this city, your majesty?
Yes, Haji. Yes, it isn't every night you catch a genie in a bottle. Is it?
I think the best adventure stories are those that weave fact with fantasy. I can't ask anybody to believe that there was ever such magical beings as genies. Now, that's pure imagination. But here's a fact you can believe. There actually was a Caliph of Baghdad in disguise. I'll be back shortly. Ever since the beginning of history, when men joined together to form a tribe, the storyteller has been an important part of our lives. From the earliest times, people would huddle around a campfire and listen to the storyteller who would make them forget the darkness which surrounded them. Today, you have listened to the modern teller of tales.
Our cast included Fred Gwynn, Leon Janney, Lloyd Batista, Paul Tripp, Robert Dryden, and Ruth Enders. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown.
This is Tom Bosley inviting you to return to the General Mills Radio Adventure Theater for another exciting tale you can hear through the magic of radio. The General Mills Radio Adventure Theater is recommended by NEA, the National Education Association.
Hi, I'm Del Vecchio for...